Kilayim, Perkhes, Mishnah Hay, 8:5. The Mishnah discusses a variety of different exotic animals and their status in halacha. The first is haprutios. Prutios are some kind of mule, but as we said in the previous Mishnah, there are two types of mules. Mules that the mother is a horse and mules whose mother is a donkey. Now, prutios, and we said there's a difference, and they're kilayim. You have to be afraid that you can't cross-work them or cross-breed them either for fear that the two different types are considered two different species. So prutios, the problem is you can't tell whether they come from a mother who's a horse or a mother who's a donkey. And therefore, asuros, they're forbidden to cross-work, meaning if you have any two prutios, you can't hitch them up together to work because there's a fear that one came from a mother donkey and one came from a mother horse. And they're kilayim zebazeh. Okay, the ramach. Now we have the ramach. The ramach also not clear exactly what kind of sort of wild horse it is, but the point is mutar. It's considered a wild horse, and one can indeed hook it up with regular horses, and that's not considered kilayim. Next, we have the famous and mysterious adnei hasadeh. Now, adnei hasadeh literally means masters of the field, most likely, and according to the vast majority of Mefarshim, based on the Yerushalmi's treatment, it's some kind of humanoid, human-like creature that is mysteriously attached to the ground via its belly button and has unusual properties. Now, to the best of my zoological understanding or anyone else's that I'm aware of, there are no members of the animal kingdom that nourish themselves from the ground. That's not how animals do things. And there's no creature that even kind of remotely resembles this. So its identity is a mystery. Certainly, if one understands it, as Yerushalmi seems to explain it, as some creature that's attached to the ground by its belly button. Now, many more modern commentaries in the past couple hundred years have struggled to figure out exactly what's going on over here. Rav Shimon Schwab, for example, understood that the attachment to the ground is metaphorical. And he says in Mayan Base Hashoeva, on the Pasuk in Bereshis, Perek Base Pasuk Chav Gimel, Genesis 2:23, that it's metaphorical. And what's going on over here is this is some kind of like primitive man, like maybe they never got a neshama, like before that, the predates Adam Rishon or never was in that line. And that being the case, he sort of has no ruchni component, and so he's totally hooked up metaphorically to Gashmis and Olam Hazeh. That's as opposed to having a hookup to the ruchni world, the spiritual world, and Olam Haba, etc. So that's sort of Schwab's understanding, which is fascinating. The Tefer Yisrael here on the Mishnah has a long piece, and he ends up saying that it is an orangutan. Now, an orangutan is one of the three great apes. Three great apes are like monkeys, but bigger, I'll call them, and their body plan is very similar to a human, quite similar. So you have orangutans, you have chimpanzees, and you have gorillas, orangutans being the smallest, chimpanzees being medium-sized and the most resemblance to human beings, and gorillas, which are in fact larger. Now, when he says orangutan, it's very likely that in Germany where he was, that wasn't specific to the orangutan as opposed to the chimp or the gorilla. And in fact, the Malbim understands that it's referring to both orangutans or chimpanzees, as the case may be. And the Rambam in the Perek Mishnah similarly just describes like a large ape. So it could well be that we're talking any of the great apes, which are human-like. Whatever the case may be, the Mishnah says that this adnei hasadeh is a chaya, has the status of being a chaya, as opposed to a behema, which has very limited application anyways, beyond if someone had a zoo and he sold all the chayos as opposed to the behemos, so the adnei hasadeh would be included in the sale, if he included just the chayos, etc. Okay, what's really fascinating is that Rabbi Yossi Omer, Metamos ba'ol ka'adam. These creatures, the adnei hasadeh, whatever they are, they're animals They're not humans. Even according to Rav Schwab, this is not a human as much as doesn't have a neshama. And certainly if it's a chimpanzee or an orangutan or whatever, it doesn't have a neshama, it's an animal. And yet Rav Yossi held that they convey tumah as a corpse, as only human bodies do, via the mechanism called ohel, which means being under the same roof as or being over or under the recipients of the tumah. So that's remarkable. So Rav Yossi holds that these things are so close to being human that they actually convey tumah like a human corpse when they're dead. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Moving on, the mission says Hakupad. A kupad is a porcupine. We have porcupines in Eretz Yisrael to this very day, and they're big and surprising. And along with the Chuldas Hasniyim, which means the Archil translate this as stone marten. A marten, which is not so different from a weasel, etc., which is like a small, kind of like rodent-y creature. It's carnivorous. And a sneh is like a bush, as in the burning bush. So this is like a bush weasel, literally translated perhaps, or perhaps a stone marten, as the Archil translates it. So both of these creatures have a din of being a chaya, as opposed to being sherets. Now that's significant, besides for if you're selling your zoo and what you include in the contract, but also for the halachas of tumah and tahara. So when it comes to tumah, there are eight special creatures that are called sheratzim, the famous shmona sheratzim, the eight sheratzim. A sheretz is like a small crawly creature, and the sheratzim comprise a variety of different creatures. Some of them are like rats and other kinds of rodents. Some of them are reptiles, perhaps, even maybe amphibians, if you have the toads and frogs, and perhaps even mollusks. Rashi learns that the chomet, anyways, is a snail. So small creatures that crawl close to the ground are sheratzim, and there's specifically eight of them, and only eight, that have the special status of sheretz, as opposed to a generic chaya, wild animal. A small wild creature. So the difference is, and this is really, for some reason, confounds people, the Shmona Sheratzim, those eight Sheretz creatures, are the least tame in a way of all creatures, not the most, the least tame in a way, as I'll explain more in a second. And also, more importantly, they do not convey tuma like all other animals. No animals convey tuma if they're alive. Tuma only is conveyed from dead animals. It can be conveyed from living people, but living animals do not ever convey tumah. So when we talk about the Shmona Sheratzim, the eight specific creatures that are called the sheretz that convey tumah in an unusual way with unusual tumah status, we're talking about the dead carcasses of these creatures. So the Shmona Sheratzim convey tumah. There's eight categories of sheretz convey tumah exclusively through maga, direct contact, as opposed to other terrestrial creatures, if you have a dead horse or something. So it conveys tumah not just through direct contact, but also by bearing its weight. That is to say, if you go into the grocery store in New York and you pick up a pork chops covered in, you know, saran wrap, so you didn't touch any of the actual flesh of the dead pig, your tummy anyways, because you lift it up, called masa, you bore the weight of the pig flesh, and that's enough to make you tummy, even without direct contact. Not true by the Shmona Sheratzim. If you have a dead rat, and it's wrapped in cellophane, and you pick up the saran wrap covered dead rat, you remain tahor, because you didn't have direct contact. So on the one hand, these Shmona Sheratzim are less tumah potent, in as much as they don't convey tumah unless you have direct contact with them, whereas other dead animals having contact or bearing their weight with their flesh can convey tumah. So they're more potent in that way. On the other hand, when it comes to these eight sheratzim, so the flesh that conveys tumah, and I should point out, when it comes to animals, it's only the flesh, the meat, which conveys tumah, not the bone, etc., horns, etc., etc. So if you see a dead animal skeleton out there in the desert and you pick it up, you remain tahor. You have to move meat or touch meat. In any case, the amount of meat, of dead flesh, from a sheretz that is required to convey tumah is only ka'adasha, the amount of a lentil, which is a very small lentil, like whatever. If you don't know what lentils are, think of mini M&Ms. If you've seen those, like the ice cream powder, they're tiny. So lentil small like that. So even that much flesh from a sheretz, like a dead rat, would convey tumah when you touch it directly. Whereas when it comes to other creatures, to convey tumah, a lentil's amount is not enough. One needs a kazayas, an olive's volume of flesh to convey tumah. So there you have it. There's a stricture and a leniency when it comes to the eight sheratzim. On the one hand, they don't convey tumah by bearing their weight, masa. On the other hand, they do convey tumah with just a lentil's amount of flesh, as opposed to the usual requirement of a kazayas, an olive's amount of flesh. So here the Mishnah is saying that the kupa, the porcupine, and the chudas sneim, they are both chayos, they're wild creatures, but they're not shiratzim. They're not one of the eight shiratzim, and which is interesting as much as that the choled is one of the shmona shiratzim. So they're similar to shiratzim, but they're actually not shiratzim in that sense, just chayos. Now, on that point, there's some disagreement, as much as the Mishnah says, chudas hasneim, when it comes to the, again, literally translated as the bush weasels, but let's call them stone martens, whatever they are, some kind of small carnivore, whatever they are, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Beshame Omrim, Beshame wasn't sure if the chudas hasneim is in fact a sheretz or a generic chaya, generic one creature, and therefore he requires, according to Rabbi Yossi, Beshame requires that one is strict both ways, meaning if the way in which one came into contact with the dead chudas hasneim was through direct contact, maga, so then even if it was just a lentils amount, ka'adasha, he'd have to assume he's tame, because maybe this chudas hasneim is in fact a sheretz, whereas if he bore its weight through masa, he lifted it up, even without direct contact, he also has to be afraid that he became tame, provided of course that he bore the weight or lifted up a full kazayas olives amount of flesh of a chudas hasneim. That's the word saying now, just inside. I'll read them to you one more time. Chudas hasneim, when it comes to the chudas hasneim creature, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Beishame Omerim, Rabbi Yossi said that Reishame said, mitama both ways, either kazayas b'masa, by lifting up, even without direct contact, an olives amount of flesh of the chudas hasneim, v'chadasha, and it conveys tuma even with a tiny amount of a lentil volume, Bamaga, if you come to direct contact. But anyways, the halacha wouldn't be like Beis Shammai anyways, it would be like Beis Hillel, so we would pass that the chudas hasneim, whatever it is a chaya and not a sheretz.